Have you ever thought, wouldn't it be cool if I actually owned my community? I spend a lot of time on social media, I build my audience, and as we know, the Facebook, Snapchats, TikToks of the world are the ones monetizing all of that attention, and the creators, well, they're left with very little. We are going to bring on today an incredible founder who wants to change all of that and make ownership of your own personal media a way that NFTs, blockchain, and collectibles all intersect in this really, really interesting startup. We're going to cover all of this and more. But before we do that, welcome, my friends, to Goats and the Metaverse. I am here with my esteemed colleague, Stanley. We're going to go deep into the world of NFTs and the market and everything that's happening before we go into a new paradigm in social media. How are you?
I'm doing great. And you know what? I was just thinking, your intro skills have gone so good. I feel like I'm like ready to conquer the world after listening to you. And I'm very excited to speak to our guests as well. But before we do that, let's check out what's going on in the market. And let's ask our friends to hit that subscribe button. If you're here, if you're watching, show some love, hit the subscribe button, say hello in the comments. And let's get right into it. Ethereum, $1,642. An ape is $5.13. Now, it says those numbers are up, but they're actually, I believe, down from the last time we recorded a show, which was last week, where I believe ETH was sitting around 17, if I'm not mistaken. And ape was at about 560. Solana was about $24. It is down to less than $23. Movement, not much movement. We'll take it. We'll take it. Let's see where the JPEGs are today. JPEGs, green. Last time there was a lot of red. Now there's a lot of green. And the market is weird, right? After this whole blur thing going on with like all this crazy activity and there was all this crazy liquidity. It seems like, is that over now? What's going on, Yossi?
Well, it's not over yet. There are blur rewards that are being issued. So there is some activity that is happening there. What we did see was some major sell pressure on the Bored Ape Yacht Club community, as well as Azuki with Muchie, the big buyer of all of the apes that did a single trade for about $10 million, selling a lot of his assets or their assets. And we're not sure if this is for blur rewards or if there was something else that was going on. But a couple of thousand ETH in assets sold off the market, and we've seen that the market has now recovered on that downward trend. It's interesting, probably still is Fidenza still holding 72 ETH, more than a Bored Ape Yacht Club. Generative Art still holding strong throughout this market as the kind of blue chip asset in the space. And then we have some mixed movement across the ecosystem. Doodle still on a downward trajectory since their announcement that they're moving on to Flow and hasn't seen a recovery there. Azuki seemingly holding strong and growing, well, mixed bag across the rest of the industry.
Yeah, and I mean, you know, we do these daily check-ins or weekly check-ins on like where the market is, and there's not that much movement. The movement is slight. It is there's, you know, we talked about it last time. What, 71 apes got bought and the floor was not moved. I mean, that is absolutely crazy. And you know, back in the day, that floor probably would have moved at least 10 ETH, maybe 20, maybe even more. So we're still kind of in this, I don't want to say down market, but it still feels different, right? Or maybe this is the new normal, maybe this is the new stabilized, and maybe we just all need to get used to it. Still take our profits where we can, take our L's where we can, and just keep plowing forward. But I'm excited for our next guest and to hear what he is building and see if whatever we learn here today could be applied for the future of Web3. So let's bring him right on without further ado.
Yeah, well, Adi Sideman, welcome to the show. We
I
have
like
been
that. I think that
speaking
should be our
a
new, I think
lot.
we should do that to everybody.
We have been speaking a lot about different UK use cases for NFTs, and what you're building is particularly interesting. But before we go into what Revel is, Let's have our audience get to know a little bit more about you. Tell us about yourself and how you got into this world of Web3.
Thank you, Yossi and Stanley, for having me today. And my name is Adi Seidman. I'm the co-founder and CEO of Revel.xyz. It's a social collectibles platform. And how I got into this world, well, my background is at the intersection of consumer media and the creator economy. I started before that as an engineer making games. My original claim to fame is that I engineered and produced the online game for the movie The Matrix. I continued to build apps and businesses focused around user-generated media, enabling regular consumers to create and express themselves through media. I co-founded the world's first online karaoke, KSolo, which was sold to Fox MySpace at the height of MySpace, became MySpace Karaoke. Elf Yourself, the famous greeting card with over 2 billion elves created. And you now live streaming, where we added a dimension of not just self-expression through live streaming, but earning. We were the first back in 2014. It's hard to imagine today to enable microtransactions around creators' earning, where people could buy into a virtual that was a non-cryptocurrency at the time, and other people could earn it. And so, shockingly, nobody was doing that on mobile apps before that. And we grew to be the number three app in the social category in the store with over 120 million user sessions a month. And I myself really got into not just programming the moving image, but programming the moving dollar and the interaction with a digital economy at scale. And then over the past 6 years, I've been in blockchain. I launched a loyalty token business. And Revel, the social collectible platform, really brings my passion towards consumer media and my experience in blockchain and the creator economy together. And so I'm psyched to talk about Revel and, in general, how ownership and blockchain is going to change social media.
We're excited to talk more about that. I mean, Revel closed around in September, about $7.8 million in your initial seed round. You had some pretty big names behind that, USV, well-known investor in this space, in that round. So lots of excitement for what you're building. Firstly, congrats on closing that investment. Why the excitement? What does it mean to build a social collectibles platform? What are you trying to do?
One way to look at it is a cross between Instagram and Robinhood wrapped in social game economics. It's a place where people can create, mint, and trade their personal media, their personal collectibles. Think about anyone can have baseball cards, not just athletes or creators or influencers, but anyone. And think about it, where all media is eventually going on chain. What does the world look like? What does it mean that followers can own an edition? That design space is really interesting. But at the heart of it, it's a marketplace where on one side, anyone can create, on the other side, followers, friends, and fans can own editions. And if we're thinking about, sort of the deeper opportunity here and what's going on, I think we've all seen since the advent of social networks that creators have been catered to. And we like to say that Web3 is really creator-friendly, and it's very, very true. The thing that is less focused on is that the followers, for the first time, are getting a new value proposition. If you look at the advent of social networks for the past, 15 years, the followers have seen very, very little innovation. They've been the viewers, the likers, the consumers, the numbers, but all the innovation went towards the creators, subscription, revenue share, microtransactions, creator tools. With the ability to own media, the followers can, for the first time, have a stake in the media that they consume. And that's a really big deal. And it's not just a financial stake, as we all know. It's also a community stake. It's a psychological stake. It's a participatory stake. And that's a really big deal. And that's the space that, you know, we are working in at Revel.
Followers until the dawn of time have all been kind of the product. You know, consumers have been the product in all of these free markets and all these social networks. What you're saying here is that they're no longer the product. They are co-owners in this creator's journey and what you're trying to do. Yeah, Stanley, go ahead. I interrupt.
So just to break it down in like basic layman's term, just because I'm the biggest layman there is out there. I'm a follower of a creator, right? That creator joins your platform, starts putting out some sort of content through the platform. I now could start collecting, you know, collecting parts of the platform, parts of whatever they're creating. I'm like, is that like, I see that there's mints, right? So if they're putting out a photo, I can now co-own this photo if I share it or if I do something, right? Is am I understanding this correctly?
Yes, absolutely. And part of the, you know, special sauce that's going on here is that these are personal economies that are being created. And so we are all emitting digital media all day long on WhatsApp, on Instagram, our, you know, feed and our camera roll. In a world in which all of these are digital assets, you know, what does that look like? And how do you manage, you know, your economy and my economy of our social capital, so to speak? So, I mean, think about it. You have 5 million followers. I have 500 followers. You have a very different, you know, optimal level of supply in order to drive, you know, good revenue and good engagement versus me. You probably need to, you know, mint a lot more, throw stuff out there because you have more demand. If you then become less popular and there's less demand for you, you should probably slow down on your minting in order to get to that good equilibrium. Same thing, me with the 500. Followers, I should probably mint a lot less, maybe once a week or once a month compared to you every few hours. Now, there's a lot of people between, you know, you and me in this example. And how do you manage all of these economies, you know, together through simple rules? So today we're already managing tens of thousands of individual economies using what we call proof of demand minting, which is everyone can mint their first collection, but only people who get collected can mint more. And so there is incentives built in through very, very simple rules. And we can go into what collected means. It's like collect three and create a series. We create a series. You're staking it. You are, as the collector, are motivated to do it because you get yield in future collections of the person who you staked. And the person who is creating is incentivized and motivated for their stuff to get collected and to make sure that it's being traded out and being marketed, because once it is collected and there's proof that it's been collected, they can be unlocked to mint more. And so these game mechanics, this economic design, is managing in real time, effectively, the economies of multiple thousands and millions of people individually, at sort of the right optimal level for all of them, without them having to think, how many should I mint? How much should I charge? You know, how many should I keep for myself? You know, should I keep some in the treasury? All of that is managed for you with the belief that, you know, this is complicated enough for professionals, and for regular people, you really want to simplify it into, you know, collect three, stake three, get a bonus, etc.
And you mentioned that. Go ahead.
No, you go ahead.
You mentioned that, you know, you're trying to incentivize the follower, the collector. What is the incentive, or why, as a collector, should I be collecting the first three of a new creator, or the first 300 of the creator? Like, just talk me through a little bit about how the collecting mentality should work for the audience.
Yeah, and people collect for different reasons. So some people may be focused on, you know, financial or economic or speculative reasons. Others may come to it from an emotional reason where, you know, I really like this person. And others can be coming to it from a game standpoint where, you know, I want to grow my net worth. And in many ways, Revel is a social game where your net worth is stated right on top. And every time it grows, we celebrate it, etc. And, you know, think about it. You know, Paris Hilton mints a picture of her dog, and I mint a picture of my dog. You know, hers is worth $9,000. Mine is worth nothing. And, you know, it's not about the dog. It's the same dog. It's about a lot of other stuff. It's, you know, about scarcity. It's about affinity. It's about, you know, engineered design, et cetera. And there's a lot of people between me and Paris Hilton. There's Betty from the home room who's gaining 50 new followers a week, and her stuff is only valued at $2. Maybe I'm a genius for offering $250 for it. You know why? I see the trends, just like on the photo that you just saw. So that you just shared. So everything on Revel is displayed not just with the art, but also with the trends around social, around pricing, etc., because people are making asset purchase decisions based on data.
So if I was to think about it as like, if I could have been in the early days of TikTok, let's use TikTok as an example. TikTok has just come out. We don't know that this is going to be a platform that changes the world and billions of people are going to be creating videos. You have the opportunity back in time, if you were to go back, to collect some of the original creators on that platform, the content, the community, the people that have really made this platform blow up. You're seeing that those are going to become collectible moments that people would want to own, either for personal affiliation with that creator or because those will actually become extremely valuable in this kind of in-game economy over time. Is that the kind of correct way to think about it?
That's exactly right. And the value is both financial and emotional. I mean, and think about the casino. You have a lot of people playing, you know, the penny slots, and they're still having a lot of fun because there is some stake involved. And so, you know, granted, you know, not everything is going to be super valuable. And, you know, the reality is, you know, 90% of stuff is crap. But, you know, the fact that, you know, it has some denotion in terms of an asset allows for a crowdsourced system where stuff can flow to the top.
But I don't know how to phrase this is it almost better to go find those diamonds in the rough as opposed to going and investing, you know, at scale of somebody that's a bigger brand name and has that collection, because you're hoping that one day, you know, the creator that has 50 or 100 or whatever, a small number, does become that next big thing, or not necessarily. And it really just depends on your strategy and goals.
Right. I think it does come down to strategies. And I also think that it's very early in the market, in a sense that, you know, we Web3 people are really attuned to the concept of ownership and value and financial stake. And when we look at, you know, regular Web2 users, this is a new concept for them. Mm-hmm. And so one of the ways that we've approached Revel as a platform is almost as a social game. And in that case, in that sense, Stanley, whether you grow by a few pennies or by hundreds of dollars, you're still making progress in the game. And so, that's part of the design consideration.
And what's the value proposition, let's say, to, I don't know, I'm going to use like a Jake Paul or somebody that is big time, to say, hey, come on our platform, right, and start this? Or is it not necessarily geared towards kind of the big people, or it could be? Is there a value proposition for guys like Jake Paul or some big creators with millions of followers?
So it's really interesting. And we speak to big creators, you know, all the time, like a few times a week. And we have a few of them on the platform, like Mira004 with over 5 million social media followers, Cyrus Dobre of the Dobre Brothers with over 10 million social media followers, and their communities who collect them, and others like them. And so we have, you know, firsthand information from these large creators. And the reality is dual. One, a lot of them still don't understand Web3. They've been very, very curious about it. They heard a lot about it. They heard that it's, you know, really friendly to creators, but it feels a little complicated, clunky. And one of the things when we speak to them is, you know, this is actually simple. It's an app in the store. You can relate to that. You don't need to come to with a wallet. You know, we create that for you in the background. You can connect it later. And employing some Web 2.5 strategies in order to simplify it for them and for their users. Because what they're thinking in the back of their head is, if it's complicated for me, it's not going to work for my users. And so that's part of our mission. We even have burning in the app. And, you know, you can like burn 3 or burn 15 and get a mystery asset. And we gamify it. It's fun. You literally see the flames, you know, destroying your asset. And so that's, you know, the path that we are on. And we're seeing slowly but surely more and more creators adapting it. Some of these larger creators act as a tentpole and an inspiration to others. And that's kind of a reality.
And I got another quick follow-up question. And this is maybe even outside of Revel, but just being somebody that's a builder in Web3, is your mindset that, you know, whatever the time period is, right? 3 years, 5 years, 10 years, whatever it is, every creator is going to be a part of Web3, or maybe Web3 is going to be a part of every creator's path. Is that something that's going to, like, do you think we're just all going to be exposed to Web3 one way or another, and whether we know about it or not, just due to the technology, or not necessarily?
I do think so. And I think that, you know, what we are seeing is that incumbents like Reddit and Instagram are already spending a lot and devoting large teams to their Web3 initiatives for a reason. Is, you know, they believe that the value proposition there for users exists, and they're choosing to cannibalize themselves, so to speak, and be prepared. Now, is the revolution going to come from them? No. But what they're doing is they're helping educate the masses and hundreds of millions of users about the fact that media is ownable. And so I do think, and then you have, you know, Mark Zuckerberg, who is investing, you know, $9 billion a year into the metaverse and Web3. And so I do think it's a matter of time until this new concept and this new way of interacting and the new value proposition that it brings with it to the followers and the creators. And in that sense, there's like 99 creators, followers for every creator, 99 followers for every creator. You know, these are the people that need to feel the difference, that need to say, okay, there is something new that I can experience and I couldn't experience it before. And once that's happening, I think that we're going to see a shift and a tilt to more and more services embracing it.
You mentioned Instagram and Reddit as, like, you know, they're already iterating and testing. Instagram has launched their platform where creators can sell NFTs directly through it. How do you think of Revel and the kind of social network landscape playing out, and you compete in that space? Like, tomorrow, Instagram, you know, extends that Web3 focus. Is Revel now no longer relevant, or you think it's never going to be, they're not competing on the same game?
Yeah, first of all, we really welcome the big guys making moves into the space. I think, like all of us, because it really, you know, helps validate what we've all been working on for years and educate the mass consumer audience. Do we look at Instagram as a threat? Not really, in the sense that their DNA is not in it. They have too much to protect and defend. They're going to do experiments, but they're also going to be like, wait and see what's working and try to acquire that. And just, you know, behave like the big guys usually behave. The other thing is, you know, what we're doing is highly gamified and with economic design that is very much Web3. And we just don't see the Instagrams and the Reddits going that deep. They're kind of like offering it as merchandising, as community, but it's going to take a real change in their business to approach it as a Web3 economic, you know, social design.
And talk me through a little bit of the technology. You say you don't need to know about Web3 as a creator or a consumer. Is this being built on blockchain, and which blockchain, and how have you managed to simplify that experience for everyone?
Yeah. So Polygon is one of our investors, and we are just now doing the integration with them so that users can take their assets onto the blockchain and bring their own assets into Revel. And one of the unique things about Revel is that it's a free economy. You don't necessarily need to have a wallet with a lot of money. You can just barter and swap. It's like, I'll give you this asset for two of yours. And it's like, that's not enough. You should add, another asset or another $5. So there is all of that that's happening for folks who are not blockchain savvy and don't necessarily come with their Bitcoin and ETH and Matic. But for those who are savvy, these days we are working to be interoperable on the Polygon chain first and then other chains.
Fascinating. Last question from me, Adi. You're building this. What is the kind of, we have a number of founders who watch the show as well. What's the kind of North Star metric that you're monitoring and thinking about to see that this is taking off and that you're getting the right kind of engagement and activity? What did you look at?
We're looking at the number of trades. And today we have tens of thousands of trades each month between users. Not all users are creators. Not all of them are going to mint. Minting is extremely valuable for us, and we want to push people to do that. And with the advent of generative AI, which we've integrated, that is becoming more and more popular and easy to do. But for the vast majority of users, once we get them into the behavior of trading with each other, as opposed to just following or liking, and starting to own these additions that are being generated around them, that is our North Star.
Love that.
So the message is here, if you're a creator and you don't want to deal with the BS of minting and setting up the whole Web3 business, come hang out on Revel where you can make a few dollars. I'm assuming, right, that there's some sort of financial-based incentive for the creators. And for the users, if you want to go and make a few dollars by, whether it's speculation or doing deep research, or you're really a good trader, or you want to be a good trader and this may be the way for you to learn how to trade, go check out Revel, because there's a financial incentive for you there as well, or the potential of you to make money by, figuring out what that arbitrage is somewhere, somehow.
Well, I think there's one extra thing, and obviously there's the financial incentive, but whenever we see a new platform coming up, the people who were first, the people who were early and became native to that platform are the ones who always get the outsized rewards later on. So assuming that Revel's successful and Adi and his team are able to grow and bolt this into a big presence, it's much harder to become Instagram famous today than it was when Instagram first came out, or TikTok famous, or any of the different platforms out there. So if you're thinking about building an audience, you're thinking about how to become a creator on a platform, and you're trying to figure out where is that niche that you can go and build an audience and go and do that, this may be also an interesting play for you in doing that outside of the whole economic structure and trading and everything that goes there, which adds a whole new interesting dimension. But it's a new platform that's built with social and virality into it, and could be the next big thing. And you heard it here first on Goats and the Metaverse.
Boom.
And may be taking attention there. How do people find out more? Where do they go? What should they know?
Yeah. So download the app at revel.xyz. Find me, search for Adi. I'll start trading with you. Mint your first collection. We're on the App Store, iOS, and Google. Follow us on Twitter, RevelXYZ. Join us on Discord. The links is on RevelXYZ. That's it. We'd love for you to experience this firsthand. Thanks for checking out.
Yeah, no, we appreciate you coming on. And for any of you guys watching at home, if you are using the app, leave us a comment below. if you watch a show and then go try it out, give us your feedback below. And, you know, I think one last thing before we wrap up that I want to say is the fact that, you know, constantly on this show, we're interviewing founders who are, you know, in Web3 building, and almost all of them have that resume of, I exited this, I built this, I've done that. Just kind of proof in the pudding that the people that are in the space and that are building, and, you know, building slow, right? You're not coming in here and saying, yeah, you know, we have hundreds of millions of users, come check us out. But they're in it. They're in it for the long term. They believe in the space like all of us do. I love to see that. And we'll be rooting for you, Addy, on the sidelines. And we wish you best of luck. Thanks for coming on. Thanks for everybody watching. And we'll see y'all again soon. Bye, everybody.